So, we have been discussing signatures of quantum chaos, and in the previous lecture, I had told that you can find signatures in the eigen spectra, in the eigen states, and in the quantum dynamics of the system. There are some signatures. So, in eigen spectra, what are the things we studied? Anyone remembers? What are the signatures?
Wigner distribution.
Yeah, so level spacing statistics, it is if it is Wigner distribution for chaotic systems
Awesome.
and Poisson distribution for. Then we didn't study spectral form factor, like I had just mentioned that level spacing statistics, we are just studying the correlations between nearest neighbor energy levels, right? So there can be signatures and correlations in far off energy levels as well. So that is studied using spectral form factor. I have not described that. I've just given the name if anyone is interested. So then in quantum dynamics, what did we study?
Expected value of that commutator I forgot.
Yeah. So that's right. So Otok is the dynamics of Otok. That is one thing we studied in the lecture. And in the tutorial, we studied entanglement dynamics, right? Like if you have start with initial state for regular Hamiltonian or in a mixed phase space, if you have a islands, regular islands, and chaotic sea. So if you start in the regular island, generally in semi-classical limit, you get low entanglement in the evolved state. And for chaotic initial state in the semi-classical limit, you get high entanglement. So these are things we studied. Today we'll study something about eigenstates. So we have not studied any signature in eigenstates yet. So for the eigen spectra, we got this Wigner-Dyson distribution from comparison with the random matrix theory, right? Like Jacob derived, how do you get that Wigner-Dyson distribution if we consider random matrix theory? And then we see that if you take quantum chaotic Hamiltonians and you get the eigen spectra and plot the level spacing statistics, you mostly get Wigner-Dyson distribution. There are some exceptions, but that's what you get mostly. So you saw a comparison in the eigen spectra with random matrix theory. What about eigen states? Like you can have random matrices, you can diagonalize them, study its eigen states and their properties of their eigen states, and compare with the properties of the quantum chaotic Hamiltonians. So the eigen states of random matrices are random states. There is correspondence in what the property that we will study today is entanglement. Like if we study entanglement in the eigen states of quantum chaotic Hamiltonian, it generally corresponds, entanglement corresponds to the eigen states in random, to the entanglement in the random states, which can be thought of as eigen states of random matrices also. So first we'll study a bit, like review, not exactly derive, entanglement in random states. So it is a well-known work by D.N. Page, published in PRL 1993. I think the title is Average Entropy of a Subsystem of that paper. So in that paper, like if you have a pure quantum state, so we are studying entanglement in pure random states, not mixed. As you may know or from quantum information, course that studying finding entanglement in mixed random states is very difficult. So consider any bipartite pure random states that belongs to this tensor product of the Hilbert space of system A and B. Like there are two subsystems A and B, and this is the composite state, pure state in that composite Hilbert space. Let this be a pure random state. So we say that dimension of HA is DA and dimension of HB is DB. Then what is the dimension of HA tensor HB? Yeah. So now, without loss of generality, we can consider that the dimension of subsystem A is less than or equal to the dimension of subsystem B. Like, we can consider that, okay, the smaller subsystem is A always. So now, we all know that the entanglement, one of the entanglement measure is Voynich entropy in the reduced state of the one of the subsystem. So we consider the reduced state of subsystem A, which you can obtain by tracing out subsystem B from this pure state. And entanglement in this state, basically the Voynich entropy of this state, which is minus trace of, I guess everyone knows this, right? So here log, theoretically, like you can take any base, just you have to be consistent in all your work. So generally in quantum information, people take base 2 here, and in condensed matter, many studies will say that they take base E, log base E. So that's just a convention. So now, can you tell me what is the maximum value of the Voynich entropy of rho A in terms of the dimension? Log D A, right? That's right. So this is the maximum value possible . So what is your expectation for a random state in general? What would, if we just take a psi AB to be a pure random state in this composite Hilbert space, then what, how close would be the entanglement to this maximum possible value for a random state? Any guesses? Sorry?
It should be very close, right?
Yeah, that's right. So for random states, that's what if psi AB is a random state. So in that paper, there is a derivation that when psi AB is a random pure state, then this S of rho A is approximately equal to log of dA minus dA by 2 dB, where they take, like, dA is very, that's the dimension of subsystem A is very greater than 1. And smaller than the square root of the total dimension of the composite Hilbert space. So this is the correction here. And so now if you take dA equals to dB, suppose like you have a half bipartition, consider that case, then there is a constant correction of half. But when dA is smaller than dB, then this term goes as exponentially small. Just briefly explain that. So in condensed matter systems, in general, like you consider systems with L lattice sites, and you can put qubits on those lattice sites. Like there are many models which study this. With a spin half qubit on each side. Now consider the bipartition LA is to L minus LA. If we are considering this bipartition, then dA dB or d is equal to d will be equal to 2 to the power L, right? Now dA is 2 to the power A and dB is 2 to the power L minus LA. So you can see that this correction term, it will go like 2 to the power LA by 2 into 2 to the power L minus LA. So now if LA is small and L minus LA is large, the term here will be 1 by 2 to the power something, right? So you can see that whenever dA is smaller than dB, this term will be much smaller. Only when there is a dA is equal to dB, then no matter how large or small your system is, the correction is a constant correction half. So overall, this says that the random states are very near to maximal entanglement. That's what this result implies.
What is the definition of a random state? Is it that there is some probability distribution from which?
So in general, you have to take a uniform probability distribution, and R random is is generally called as uniform probability distribution on a sphere. Like these psi ABs has to be like a unit vector in a complex space, right? Like so a unit vector on this C to the power, the dimension of this space, a unit vector on that, with what measure do you choose this unit vector? It is generally, you can have a measure which is uniform on the sphere, or you can have a measure which is more concentrated on the poles and less concentrated on equator. So generally, you have to take a measure which is uniform on this sphere. So that is generally called as Haar random.
But we started from a random Hamiltonian, and if we just see to the spectrum of the eigenvector of this Hamiltonian, it doesn't produce this, because I thought it's related to that.
It doesn't produce random state, you mean?
Yeah,
it will produce random state with like there can be specific symmetries in the system, so that may enter in some way. Like there are different kind of ensembles, Gaussian orthogonal ensemble, symplectic ensemble like this, circular ensemble, like whether you are taking unitary operator, whether you are considering eigenstates of a unitary operator or a Hermitian operator, like this, there are different kinds of symmetries which lead to different kinds of random ensembles. So that may have some implication, minor implication, but the leading order term of the entanglement follows this actually. That's the main thing.
So how are we getting one value? If it is a random state, then that
means it's okay. So the title of the paper is Average Entropy of a Subsystem. So there will be a small fluctuation, but the fluctuation is very, very small. And I guess as you increase the dimension of the system, the fluctuation becomes even more smaller. Like for small dimensions of the composite system, the fluctuation may be large, but as you go on increasing your system size, the fluctuation of this average of this entropy.
Okay, so this is like the average.
Average, yeah. Like, yeah, consider many, many random states, compute entropy of all of them, compute the average. It will come out to be very close to this quantity and with a small fluctuation. That's what it means.
This means most of the spectrum is variable entropy, right?
That is another thing I'm going to point out. In general, it may be thought that, okay, there is volume law, entanglement entropy for chaotic systems and not volume law, area law or something like that for regular systems. But even integrable systems may have volume law. The change is in the coefficient of the leading order. So here leading order term is this, right? This is what dominates. And the coefficient here is 1 basically. But there are integrable systems where coefficient is, instead of being 1, it may be close to half or something, but it still follows volume law. So let me just briefly explain what do I mean by volume law. So the leading order is log of dA. Now if I take a chain of length L and the dL is equal to 2 to the power LA, right? This dA. So log of 2 to the power LA will be equal to LA log 2, and if you have base as 2, then it is just LA. So the thing is, if in leading order, if S rho A is proportional to LA, then it is volume law, in the sense that suppose you have a, like, for example, 2D lattice like this, and if I consider a subsystem here, then what is the entanglement, and if I consider a pure state of this lattice and consider a subsystem here, then the entanglement, is it proportional to the number of number of qubits inside this subsystem? Or is it proportional to the endpoints? Like there may be so many lattices, only the boundary, how many qubits are on the boundary. So if it is proportional to only number of qubits on the boundary, then it is area law. And if it is proportional to the number of qubits inside the subsystem, which you see here for random states, that is volume law, basically. Just a vague description of what is volume law and what is area law. Like those are very generic terms in condensed matter used. And in general, like in condensed matter, like many studies focus on ground state or states with very low energies in the spectrum. So generally, states with very low energies have area law, entanglement, entropy, and states in the middle of the spectrum. For chaotic systems, yeah, it follows volume law. Even for regular systems, it follows, some of the systems have volume law actually. Just that the coefficient here, it can be any non-zero coefficient between 0 and 1, it can be, right? So suppose this is some C. So C equals to 1 or very close to 1 for chaotic systems and less than 1, significantly less than 1 for regular systems. So have you heard about XXZ model? I think all of you have heard about Heisenberg model at least, and of lattice sites. So, like this notation is from this paper, and it shows that there is volume law for the integrable case. For the XXZ model, so this paper, so the L lattice sites and the Hamiltonian is these SS here are just poly like spin half spin operators, which are like some multiples of poly operators. HC is Hermitian conjugate. So this first term here, first summation represents nearest neighbor interaction, and the second term here represents nearest next nearest neighbor interaction, like ith qubit as an interaction term with I plus 2th qubit as well. So now, so when lambda equals to 0, this implies integrable. So if you have a spin half 1D chain with only nearest neighbor interaction like this, it is integrable. And for lambda not equal to 0, when you add a non-integrable, when you add a next nearest neighbor interaction here, the system becomes non-integrable. So there is another, like if you have heard about Bethe inserts, it is like you can solve some quantum systems exactly for the eigenfunctions and eigenvalues exactly or with some approximation, I guess, using Bethe inserts. So in general, it says that if you can solve a system with Bethe inserts, a quantum system, then they are quantum integrable system. That is another definition of integrability. Just that you, there are very small number of systems which can be solved using this. So, but so this nearest neighbor interaction interacting XXZ model in one dimension only, I'm talking about, not two dimension or high dimension, is solvable using Bethe inserts. So that's how we know that like this is an integrable model for nearest neighbor interaction, and for lambda not equal to 0 it is non-integrable. So now in that paper that I mentioned, archive 1909, which is 2019 paper, in that they studied the case of lambda equals to 1, and they computed entanglement of all the eigenstates in the zero magnetization sector. And in this sector, there is some, they found some correction to this average entanglement entropy of random states. Which they gave as La log 2 plus so the correction term is slightly different than the page term, but the leading order term is still the same in the zero magnetization sector for this system. And they showed that they did some numerical finite size scaling analysis for the average entanglement entropy in all eigenstates in zero magnetization sector. So using the finite size scaling analysis, like the x-axis in their paper, so this value is basically this they got. So they saw that in this finite size scaling analysis, this value is 1, like they have some data points like this, this small deviation for small system size, but or large system size. So here you can see that the denominator is 1 by S random. So as you increase the system size, the x-axis will go towards 0, in the sense that consider 1 by LA. So if LA goes to infinity, 1 by LA goes to 0, right? So in the finite size scaling analysis, like I think the smallest data set that they have is for total number of sites is 14 sites, and the largest data set they have is for, I guess, 22 sites, and this is L, not LA, and this plot is for half bipartition, so LA is L by 2. So they have some data points in increment of 2, 14, 16, like that. And in the finite size scaling analysis, they show that it goes to 1. So in condensed matter, we can study numerically only finite number of system sizes, but we are always interested in the thermodynamic limit of the system, like if our system size goes to infinity, then what is the property of the system? So for that, since we can't really reach numerically very, very high sizes of the system, we generally do some finite size scaling analysis. So this is one of them. So here they show that it goes to 1. So overall, they show that when the system is non-integrable, or specifically for the case, they show this for lambda equals to 1, just 1 lambda. So when in that case for half bipartition, they saw that this happens. Like the average value of the all the eigenstates in a particular symmetry sector of the Hamiltonian goes to the value given by the random given by the entropy of the random states.
So this is not a counter example to what Amrita was saying.
Yeah, so that's why. So we discussed lambda equals to 1 case. The next discussed lambda equals to 0 case, actually, the integrable case. So for that, they saw the scaling analysis actually was this is 0.5378 approximately. So like for they did it for 4 values of lambda, and they showed that like for all the system sizes they considered, sorry, 1 value of lambda and 4 values of delta. So delta, if you see here, in the first summation, the Z interaction is given by delta. So they did it for four values of delta and 1 and lambda equals to 0. And for all these values, they saw that this, the average entanglement entropy of all the eigenstates go to this value, like in the finite size scaling analysis. So this is the normalized average, I would say, in the sense that you are dividing by the maximum possible entanglement entropy in that subsystem size. So instead of going to 1, it goes to this, but it doesn't go to 0. So this implies like a volume law entanglement entropy, right? Like I was talking about this, right? Like your S of rho A being proportional to LA, and I had put a coefficient here. So this coefficient for this case, or the half bipartition case, is this actually. So overall the message is like integrable systems can also show volume law entanglement entropy, just that the coefficient of the leading order term is less than 1. So I mean, this paper that I mentioned is a paper by Mark Ostrigol and a few co-authors. So he has a lot of papers in these recent years, like 2018, around 2017 to like even right now. So a lot of papers. So that is the thing, that we understand entanglement in random states, and that's how like most chaotic systems follow that. But in order for entanglement to be a signature, we need to understand what happens in integrable systems, right? What is the value of entanglement in integrable systems? So he has done like a lot of analytical and numerical calculations in different papers, in a series of papers actually, showing what happens specifically for integrable systems. What is the entanglement in integrable systems actually? So this is one of them that I am referring to. And he has also given a colloquium in 2020. In March 2020, the last in-person colloquium at PI before the pandemic. So if anyone is interested, you can go and take a look at the talk. It's available on PIRSA.
So the criteria we are proposing by this was that if it something shows volume law, it will be a signature of quantum chaos?
Not volume law. So chaotic systems definitely show volume law. But regular systems can show volume law, but with a different coefficient, leading order coefficient, or they can also show area law. Like there are systems where you have many body localization. So those systems actually show area law entanglement. So that is the criteria. But the other important thing is about bipartition. Here, these plots that I showed is of half bipartition. So I'll just write here one thing. So this value they obtain here, I think they have some analytics and numerics showing this. I think they have some analytics for the XX model where the Z interaction term is zero basically. So this is the coefficient I am talking about. So for half bipartition, the coefficient is this value. And in general, this value is between 0 and 1. And so,
maybe this basic question, why is it LA and LA by L, is why not LA and L minus LA?
I mean, L is the total subsystem.
Yeah, I that equation can come. I'm saying means we.
I mean, okay.
Why is that LA by L there?
I mean, it is a function of subsystem size by total system size. That is what they, like the fraction. I mean, it is a function that you can devise, like for half bipartition, LA by L is half.
Okay.
But LA by LB or LA by L minus LA is 1.
Okay.
So how you define your parameters is just that. So now we have to distinguish between non-vanishing bipartition and vanishing bipartition. So non-vanishing bipartition is like, if you increase your total size of the system, that is L, you also increase LA in a such a way that the ratio remains constant. That is non-vanishing bipartition. So on the other hand, vanishing bipartition is like you keep your subsystem size constant, that is LA constant, and you can vary L. So in the thermodynamic limit, when L tends to infinity and LA is constant, that will imply a vanishing bipartition. That's what we mean here by non-vanishing and vanishing bipartition. So through his work, he implies that in vanishing bipartitions, there is no difference between entanglement entropy of chaotic systems and integrable systems.
Could you repeat? There is no.
Like in vanishing bipartition, the average entanglement entropy of integrable systems, the eigenstates of integrables, is given by the random states, the entropy of the random states. So you cannot use entanglement entropy in vanishing bipartitions, average entanglement entropy in vanishing bipartitions, to distinguish between integrable and chaotic systems. You have to use non-vanishing bipartition.
Can you repeat again the difference between non-vanishing
and vanishing? Yeah, so here just like I told, for example, the maximum number of sites that they use is 22 and LA is 11 for this, so for half bipartition. They also use like L equals to 14. So for this half bipartition, LA equals to 7. So it is like that LA by L is constant as you increase L, your size L.
The fraction of subsystem.
Yeah, the fraction of subsystem is constant. So as you are going to the thermodynamic limit by increasing your system size, you are also increasing your subsystem size proportionately such that this fraction is constant. This is non-vanishing bipartition. And vanishing bipartition is like, you fix your LA to be 5 and then keep on increasing L. So in the thermodynamic limit, when L tends to infinity, your LA by L will go to 0, right? If LA I have kept constant. So overall, such fractions where your subsystem size is constant, like if it goes to 0, then it is vanishing bipartition, and if it does not go to 0, if the way you consider your bipartition, if it does not go to 0, then it is non-vanishing bipartition. So through the results, they show that like this average entanglement entropy in the eigenstates of these systems is a diagnostic of integrability and chaos only for non-vanishing bipartitions, not vanishing bipartition. So you consider some half bipartition or quarter bipartition or some fixed ratio, and then you study entanglement by varying system size. Then you do these finite size scaling analysis by varying system size as well as subsystem size. Then it would make sense. Otherwise, you will not see a difference if you fix your subsystem size to be a constant. So that's what this shows. So in one of the works, like for these systems where you have permutation symmetry among spins, like I have talked a bit about the kicktop model and this LMG model a bit, just not in detail, but so in these systems I have like in one of my works with another collaborator, we have shown that LMG model is an integrable system. So for that, for half bipartition, this value is actually half. So for the kind of system they study, their value is 0.5378. For these permutation symmetric spin systems, for integrable system, this goes as half, actually in any non-vanishing bipartition, not just half bipartition, but in any non-vanishing bipartition. Or there is some analytics that we do, and it's there in the paper. I'll just write the archive number if anyone is interested, and we can discuss later. Sorry, I did not write archive number, I guess.
On that okay. Theorem, the ratio is fixed, right?
Sorry, here, yeah.
The ratio is fixed.
Yeah. So here, LA by L is half. So, and this, as you fix LA by L to be some number, this leading order coefficient here changes. For half, this is this, and they may have done some calculation for other bipartition. For the permutation symmetric case that I have studied, it is very interesting that as long as this ratio is non-zero, but any non-vanishing bipartition, this is 0.5. So that's a striking difference that we got. That, for example, here you can consider a quarter bipartition in the sense that LA is 1/4 of L, for example, then this number will change. But for the permutation symmetric case, we saw that for any non-vanishing bipartition, for example, quarter bipartition or half bipartition, we get the same number, 0.5. So
there have no exceptions to that rule yet.
So that is what I am going to talk a little bit also about. So here they have studied lambda equals to 0 case and lambda equals to 1 case. What happens like for lambda, even very small lambda, like lambda is 0.01, the system becomes non-integrable, right? So what, like no one has studied that, and we can only reach finite sizes. So whether saying for lambda equals to 0.01, whether it will in the thermodynamic limit, whether it will go to the integrable case or chaotic case, it is very difficult. So like there are two things that, as I had said earlier, there is difference between that we want to study is integrability and non-integrability. And then there is, even in non-integrability, you can have some regular dynamics and chaotic dynamics, and you can have mixed phase space. The kind of systems I have studied, it is easier to see visually that there is a mixed phase space because of single degree of freedom. But these system, in these systems, it is difficult. So what happens when your your perturbation is small? Then will you go to the chaotic case or will you go to the regular case actually? So like, I did this study for the LMG case, LMG model, which is integrable, and then I'm doing it for the kicktop, which is a non-integrable model. So when the system shows global chaos classically, then it goes to one. Like then there is no doubt. But the thing is, when the system has mixed phase space, then sometimes it neither goes to one, neither goes to 0.5. So it does not really answer that question, the transition when you have small non-integrability breaking term, and like people have different opinions. Like for example, I was talking to Marcos Rigol when he came here for the colloquium, and according to him, like even for a infinitesimal lambda, which is not zero, in the thermodynamic limit you will see the difference. But we don't have any proof, right? It is like, you know, from your studies you can have some opinion about thermodynamic limit, but you do not have a proof for that. So and we clearly see like in the kicktop model there is more there to explore. Like this transition. So when the system is clearly integrable, you will get a definite answer. When the system is completely chaotic, then you will get a different answer. Those two you can distinguish, but the systems where the system which is non-integrable but has probably some kind of mixed phase space, which we can see in these few degrees of freedom system, but one can't really see in many degrees of freedom system like these lattice models. So what happens there? So like in quantum many body systems, there has been no way to study these mixed phase space things, and it is like almost a completely unexplored area, because there is not much that you can do in few bodies of system, few degrees of freedom system, that is few body systems, due to some classical picture you have that analogy, so you can study. So this is entanglement, and then like just mentioning another thing. So in general, if you start with any initial state and if your system is chaotic, in general it is thought that the initial state will thermalize upon evolution, in the sense that if you look at a subsystem of this whole system, like in the sense that if you have any chaotic system, for example this Hamiltonian described by this Hamiltonian, and if you start with any initial state psi and evolve it for time t to get psi t, if this Hamiltonian is chaotic, then it is said that like this thermalizes. You can see it in the properties of the observables, or like locally you can study the subsystem like reduced state, and it will look like thermal state. So that is what in general thought. And this in 2017 there was an experiment in which they studied 51 atom quantum simulator, and this paper, this is a paper from a Harvard experimental group. They studied a quantum simulator in a 51 atom system, and they found an initial condition which does not thermalize upon evolution. Like they found an initial quantum state which does not thermalize upon evolution, and it was a very surprising result for the community, that in general the other states that they were studying, they thermalized. And then so this is August 2017. So there was another paper in November 2017 which described like the theory, why is that happening, and the title of the second paper is Quantum Many Body Scars. So the term that they derived here, quantum many body scar, is from the traditional quantum chaos community, where quantum scars are a well known concept, like for these chaotic systems, like systems which have a classical chaotic limit. If you plot the distribution functions for these, you will see the concentration of these distribution functions around some unstable periodic orbits, classical unstable periodic orbits, rather than just a random distribution. Like we talked about this Huysmans phase space distribution function, for example. So if you plot these kind of phase space distribution functions, for chaotic eigenfunctions in general, you may think that it will just be a random distribution. But they saw that most of the eigenstates, the distribution was localized around classically unstable periodic orbits, and they termed it as quantum scars. This term was given in 1980s, and there is something visual here. So in this paper, they studied why like this dynamics was seen. There was a quantum state which did not thermalize, and they tried to devise a theory for it. And they found that there are some eigenstates. Most of the eigenstates follow this volume law entanglement entropy of a system that they gave, of a model that they proposed. But there were some eigenstates for which the entanglement entropy was area law rather than volume law. And they termed those eigenstates as quantum many body scars in analogy with these. So, and then there were several like several papers and like several research projects which people went on to do in this field, like quantum many body scars. So overall, the thing is, you see any kind of athermal behavior in a system in which most of the eigenstates are thermalizing, or most of the initial states upon evolution are thermalizing. It is a very interesting thing for the community. And if you look from the perspective of these few body systems, like we saw for the kick talk and for the standard map, for example, like there, for some values of significant, like large values of k, which was the coupling strength, if you start with an initial state, it almost filled the whole phase space apart from small regions. If you remember those phase space diagrams, you have also may have also plotted these standard map for the assignment, right? So for some values of k, you will see that if you start only with one initial state and evolve it for suppose 10,000 time periods, it will fill almost all this phase space, but there are just some small regions which are not filled. So I look at them, it's like, okay, these are different behavior than most of the initial states. But here, since you have, it is a 1 degree of freedom system, you can visualize and figure out, okay, what is the state which will behave different from the most rest of the system. In many body systems, it is difficult to do that. But you can see, like, drawing analogy from this few body case studies, you can get interesting properties in these many body systems. And this is quantum many body scars, that is a recent find, is for me an example of that.
These are the regular part of your body space, right? That are not chaotic
anymore. Yeah, so for the standard map, but here, like, that is what I'm thinking. Like, is it like there is a whole a chaotic scene which there are some regions which are regular and these are leading to quantum many body scars? Or is it like they are just surrounded around unstable periodic orbits? So these quantum scars are not regular regions of phase space. They are these quantum scars, the traditional quantum scars that were studied in 1980s, was actually due to unstable periodic orbits in the phase space that anyway are there. That is not due to regular regions. So people have drawn analogy with this, and not with the regular region of the phase space. Like, there is a difference. I can explain that you like later in detail what I understand out of it. So it is difficult to say in a way, like, what is the exact correspondence? Like, the correspondence is with this unstable periodic orbits, or the correspondence is with this small regular regions in the chaotic sea, actually. So people have drawn analogy with this unstable periodic orbits. But I wonder, it could as well be small regular regions in the phase space. Why not? So these are just some interesting things, like recently, that is happening in research. And like, in case you want to explore, I just wanted to give a flavor of what is happening. Like this entanglement that I talked about. So entanglement in random states was well studied in the beginning of 2000, but entanglement in the integrable systems was not so well studied, like average entanglement. So that is one area of research which is like active right now. And then these quantum many body scars, this is another area of research which is active. So if you have any questions around these, like, yeah, I will be happy to discuss whatever I know and understand. Okay, thanks a lot. Feel free to ask any questions if you have.